Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. A flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. I mean anything. Before you eat, feed yourself, children, pets, anything. Stamps.com. Do it. Go there. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ghost. Get yourself our special offer, including up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Stamps.com. Type in code ghost. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a bang and a flash of light, and it was gone. But what was it that left? A rural gas station goes from open and running to abandoned and decrepit in a matter of hours. But how? Plus, what are the odds the new recipient of an old cell phone number would have the same as the previous deceased owner? And a child's voice answers questions of adults in a home where no living child is present.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Welcome to the program if you're searching out ghost stories because it's October. Well, good news. This show goes on year-round. So welcome to the show. Be sure to press subscribe. And you can have ghost stories all the way through Christmas and Easter and 4th of July and your quinceañera, whatever you want. You know, you can have a ghost story for it because we do the show every single week. Also, be sure to join our Facebook group if you like the show. I want to discuss it with the other fans, the Search Real Ghost Stories Online group. And of course, the biggest thing, if you like this show, this is mainly a listener-supported show and has been for 5 years. Support it by becoming an EPP, extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask. You get access to every single advanced episode of the show as we make them, we post them, and a bonus EPP episode. That's exclusive every week for EPP members. Some of our best stories we put on there. It's a thank you. It's an extra. It's a full episode at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. How are you this fine day?
Hey, I'm good, my friend. 5 years ago you started this. When you said that just then, I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was right
I
around.
I remember when you started it. Seem like it could be 5 years.
I think I was still working at the radio station. It was like right at the time when I left. It was like just, I started it, then I left, and it was right around that time period.
Yeah.
I think then I was doing it like once a week or something. It wasn't as nearly as active as it is today. But yeah, it's been about 5 years. I got an email today from a listener saying that they had just found the show. They found the other one, the Grave Talks, the one where it's just me on it doing the interviews. And she said, I have a really strange question, but you sound just like somebody I used to listen to on KFDI in Wichita, Kansas.
What a coincidence.
I said, well, that is so strange. I had a twin brother who lived there, same name. And no, I said, yes. And I said, if you listen to the other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, a couple episodes a week, you're going to hear Carol Hughes on there too. So it's always kind of funny when I get that because our listeners are all over the world, but every once in a while, there's somebody from, a town or something that's, heard us on the radio.
Yeah, I had my first person locally go, oh my gosh, you're on that podcast.
Really?
Yes.
It's funny. I've seen audience numbers, and there's according to audience stats, there's several
there's
hundred.
There's like 20 people listening.
No, there's several hundred in the city of Wichita that listen to the show. And I couldn't tell you where they're at or their addresses, but the stats of how many downloads come in a day, there's a couple hundred that tune in on a regular basis. So it's just, you know, you only hear from a few to know that, but it's kind of funny. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's odd. It's not odd when you're in your own city of radio and somebody comes up to you. You have that every single day because you've been there forever and everyone knows you. But I actually had one based on this show. I was in a gas station a couple months ago. I was getting like some chips and stuff after I'd picked up Harper from school. And some guy just comes up to me going, are you Tony from the Ghost Show? I said, yes, I am. He's like, oh, man, I listen to it all the time. Is that your kid that you talk about? Like, yes, it is. It's like, that's kind of creepy. But yeah, but I talk about her all the time. It was just it was a very bizarre thing for not being in local radio anymore to have that happen. It just kind of
but
randomly.
You know, you do a lot of Facebook Live stuff, so people would recognize mm-hmm. you from that.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah.
Just, but it is kind of creepy. Is that your child?
Yeah. I haven't had it in so many years since doing local radio that just with a you know, national platform, it's like, oh, that's cool. It's neat. It was just kind of funny, though. So anyhow, and our first story of the day comes into us. It says, hey, Carol and Tony, my ghost story took place around 2011 at my old friend's house who had told me was very haunted before moving in. I've always been interested in the paranormal, so part of me got pretty excited at hearing that and thinking I'd finally get a glimpse to the other side. He had told me he would wake up to the bed shaking. He'd hear voices. He'd walk into the living room and see messages on the TV that was turned off and said, help me. And I'm sure there were other things he didn't even mention. It didn't take long for me to get the sense that there was a presence in this house, and I'd always freak myself out thinking I was being watched. Anyway, one night it was my friend, his cousin, and myself, and after a night of movie watching in our basement room, we decided to call it a night. As we tried to fall asleep, we started to hear the drum set from across the room start tapping and making a reverberating sound like someone had one of those brushed drumsticks. And seeing how his brother was a drummer, we whispered, Alan? Is that you? Go to sleep, man. It's late. Once we had done that, the sound stopped and there was no reply. So we figured it was a draft or something, trying to rationalize it. But then I noticed the sound of somewhat heavy breathing and I let it go for a bit. But then I had to ask, hey, is one of you guys breathing loudly? They said, no, we thought it was you. Once we had given each other the look of shock, we had heard a loud bang behind us like someone had hit the wall. And to our surprise, we had seen one of the pictures on the wall moving on its own, and there was a quick flash of light, and the door going to the upstairs slammed shut. Even though we had closed it, we came downstairs. We shot up and for whatever reason decided to follow it. So we were in the kitchen and saw his beagle just fixated on one empty area of the house. She did not move, and she would not acknowledge us when we tried to call her over. Then we noticed she was shaking. We'd heard about animals being attuned to the supernatural, and we had had enough, so we picked her up and just bolted to the third floor and just stayed awake all night. Whatever the presence was didn't seem to follow us up there, but I never felt right in that house after the event. I just always got this feeling of negativity that surrounded me there, and the basement seemed to have the worst energy. I'd always feel like if I looked down the dark hall at night, I would see the figure of a person staring back, so I tended to sleep facing the wall out of fear. I'm not going to lie, I was pretty relieved when I moved out of that place. Thank you guys for the podcast. Love listening to the different stories and your input on them. Keep up the good work, Vinny. Thoughts on Vinny's story, Carol?
Okay, the creepiest part is the heavy breathing thing.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Yeah.
Because it's creepy at the same time.
And it's very definitive. It's one of those things, there's not a whole lot that emulates that you would be confused by.
Yeah.
Very, very, yeah. I discovered this week that I'm a heavy breather when I sleep. Actually, it's not just that. It's like I have the sleep apnea, I found out. So,
oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, isn't it, though? So,
hey, you get to wear that fancy thing to bed.
God, I'm kind of scared. Because, I don't know. I mean, I'm a light sleeper as it is. So like anything can wake me up. And it's like, really, I got to wear. But I guess they have some that are not so invasive anymore. I guess they've kind of mastered this thing now. But now I have to go in and look at the machine and that and all everything. So I don't know.
You might find out that you're really not a light sleeper.
I don't know.
You are waking yourself up.
I do. I do wake myself up when I snore. But I did like a sleep test the other night. Luckily, I was able to do it at home. And they test if you stop breathing for a short period of time. And it turns out I actually astral project myself into the other room, according to the test, when I'm not breathing. I die for a little bit, and then I can go around the house and haunt people. It's really kind of cool. I wish.
That's a special talent.
It's a new, it's like Uber sleep apnea.
You should teach a class in that.
Exactly. But now, so I'm kind of nervous, and I guess I'm looking for any words of encouragement from our audience, if anyone else, because it's a very common thing. I'm just curious, like, tips, advice? I'm open to it, because I don't know... I don't know really anyone to begin with. I don't have any friends other than you, that do the sleep mask thing and all that and how it works and all that. I don't know. I remember a couple years back.
Now it'll be really creepy if Jen goes to bed and you're getting good night's sleep now and the heavy breathing continues.
Yes. Or the snoring, like I stop snoring, but something else is snoring and it's not
exactly.
Her and it's not me.
And it's like, oh crap, this whole time it wasn't even you.
It's an Indian burial ground. That's all. And problem
actually
solved.
Where you live, it kind of could be.
You never, oh God. I mean, there's so many. I love this place because the history is so interesting about everything that was here, that remains here. There's these little ghost towns all over the place. But we were learning the other day about burial spots that the Native Americans would have used and how they marked them. And we're pretty much in a forest. But there's sometimes you'll be out there and you'll see very odd markings of rocks. It's like, well, that doesn't seem natural, but probably wouldn't have, you know, been moved in many years. Like somebody physically put these things here this way for whatever reason, all by themselves. Oh, that's probably where someone's buried. And the thing is, it's all rock here. We're on limestone. Very like you can, it's so hard to dig a garden or anything because you just hit the rock. So anybody who is buried ain't that deep either. So it's like, well, maybe they washed away with erosion by now, but I don't know. It's kind of a horrible thing to think of. But there you go. All right, a little bit of business here before we continue on. I want to thank our supporter today, Stamps.com. We've been using these guys forever. Stamps.com. All the amazing services of the post office right at your desk. Everything we do is on demand. You know, the show is on demand. And I don't know about you, but, you know, going to the post office, not such an on-demand task. It's kind of like, okay, I got to mark off a little time on my day to get over there, get it done, and then you can come back. So I'm nothing against the post office, but it's not on demand. And I like on demand. Stamps.com gives you all of those services right there at your fingertips, at your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package using your computer and your printer, and then your mail carrier picks it up right there. So if you decide at 9:30 at night on a Sunday, oh, I think it's probably time to put these things in the mail, and I don't know how much the postage is going to be. Put it on your scale if it's a questionable thing, and they'll tell you right there, and you'll save money too. Yeah, you get savings through stamps.com. Click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be any easier. If you do anything with the post office, you would be crazy not to use stamps.com. Right now, you can use our code GHOST. Get a special offer. This is exclusively for you guys. $55, up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a 4-week trial. That's like free money. You know, stamps, postage, essentially a version of currency. You can get up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, 4-week trial. How do you do it? Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in GHOST. Stamps.com, enter code GHOST. That's spelled GHOST for everyone playing along at home. Stamps.com, enter code GHOST. Get that free offer. Support them. They support us. And it's just a great service. It really, truly is. Stamps.com, enter code GHOST. Get your special offer there. And enjoy. Thank me later, I guess. Check it out, stamps.com. Code GHOST. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another letter. It says, hey, guys, I felt like writing in after a friend of mine had a strange night. When I got home, he left a pizza in the oven, so it was a burnt mess, and the guy decided to sleep on the couch without any clothes on. I had to throw away the pizza and tossed a blanket over him to give him at least some dignity for the evening. I didn't know how to talk to him about it, and he was completely apologetic, but he told me that he drank to forget about the night. I don't like to judge those who go out and drink heavily, but this was one of those times when I had to tell him to tone it down, especially if he's trying to use the oven. I just made some coffee and a few eggs in the morning. Then, while he woke up and noticed how his night ended, I brought him a mug of coffee and some eggs. This is my brother's best friend, so I didn't want to offend him, but I had to let him know that he can't be doing these things. He thanked me for breakfast, also for the blanket, and spent a good hour apologizing to me for what he did. He didn't even remember the pizza, but I reminded him. I don't know where Mike asked me, do you believe in ghosts? He's not someone that brings that stuff up, and he rarely talks to me, so he had no idea that I love ghost stories. I thought he had a funny drunken story, but he was serious. He went to attend a family event. They all had dinner, and he was going to attend a concert later that night, but he never showed up. Since he had a few drinks, he ended up getting a ride from one of his family members to the concert. They got lost on the way, and they had stopped by a gas station. These days, you can use your phone for directions, but his phone wasn't working. He ended up asking one of the workers for directions, but the worker had no idea about the location. And things got strange. He mentioned a payphone that caught his attention, and it made him curious. He noticed that it was much older, almost like an antique, with a rotary dial on it. So he assumed it was for decoration. They decided to get back on the road, and he said it almost felt like a movie set. They eventually came across a highway patrol officer, and he decided to help them find a familiar freeway because they were lost. On the way back, he noticed the gas station they stopped at before, which was completely abandoned. They put their hazard lights on and decided to talk with the officer. They asked him what happened to the gas station, but the officer informed them that it's never been in business for years, and the nearest gas station was 10 miles away. They even asked the officer if he was joking around, but he took it as an insult and pointed out the direction they needed to go and sped off. They went back to the gas station only to see it completely empty and filthy. They tried to rationalize the situation. Maybe they were lost and mistaken from another place until he noticed the payphone. He never went to the concert after that. Instead, he headed to a local bar and drank the night away. He tried to look up the location, possibly any abandoned locations, but he couldn't find anything. What scared him the most was how he talked to the worker. He remembered asking for directions, but freaked out that he spoke to a ghost that night. He's been freaked out since, which makes me believe he didn't make it up. Thanks for reading. Still loving the show. How about that for a night out?
You know, I'd have probably ended up naked on the sofa with a burnt pizza in the oven, too, after that. That would freak me out. Like, but it kind of reminds me of that story my dad told me where he picked up the hitchhiker that was never there.
Yeah.
Like, I totally think that stuff could happen.
It's weird. It, you know, there's a lot of stories we get about locations that active, bustling with people and looks normal. There's something feeling kind of weird about it, but it looks normal. And then shortly thereafter, whether it be a couple hours, a day, whatever, they come back and it is gone. Quite often we hear about this thing when people are out hiking in the woods and they're coming across like a house or even a small village or something that might have been there. And they're, oh, this is really, I didn't know anybody lived out here. And then they're coming back on the trail and then it's all just the abandoned hulks of whatever it was. I don't know what it is, but it's one of the creepier.
What's crazy, it has to be in your brain because the location itself couldn't actually be there than not be there.
I don't know.
Physically.
It's like ghost buildings. And a lot of times.
I get seeing it.
And we talk about.
That's complicated.
You know, we talk about like, well, buildings don't have souls or consciousness or all that, but. You know, it makes you almost wonder, though, okay, well, if it's not the building deciding, oh, I want to come back and be seen, is it someone that's connected with it that's allowing that individual to see it from their perspective. Just almost in the same way that sometimes people suddenly are overtaken with sadness or emotion at a very dramatic place in history or time or where something horrible happened. Like someone just saying, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm almost having a heart attack. And then they find out that, oh, grandma had a heart attack there 20 years ago or something. If it's something along those lines where someone is allowing you to see what they once saw for whatever reason, I don't know. But that's kind of where I come in on my guess of what's going on.
But I think that he's got to let it go. Like, it happened. You know, don't drink yourself to death over this.
Sure.
But it happened, and it's kind of a cool experience now that it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a great story. Now, that said, I'd be kind of freaked out that it would happen again.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want it to happen again really badly.
And I don't know how you would address that that situation, you know, because my advice would be go talk to someone about it, talk to a counselor, talk to a therapist. But and that's an interesting thing where it's like, there's a fear of how are you going to be taken? And what are they going to do if they think you're saying something, you know, somewhat crazy to them?
Yeah.
It was interesting. The other day I was talking with a counselor friend of mine, and she said to me, you know, this is I don't know what it is, but over the last couple of years, I've had so many people start talking about ghosts to me, and that didn't happen in the past. And I said, maybe people are just feeling more comfortable with the topic in general. But I said, well, how do you handle it? Because I'm always curious about that. And she's like, you just listen. You just let them kind of work through it. That's what their role is for anything, really. But it was just interesting to hear that more people are openly feeling that they can share those experiences with someone like that.
Well, in all those years of college, and then she's like, well, how did you feel about that? So how did the ghost make you feel?
Exactly. It's like, oh, it's all just ghosts. That's all it is. And that's the end of that
conversation. How do you feel about seeing a ghost?
Yeah. That's all you have to do. It really is. 855-853-4802. Our number, Real Ghost Stories Online, says, hey guys, remembered when Tony talked about an uncle or another family member who sold junk out of his van? Yes, I did. And I'll talk about that in a moment. I saw a guy doing that at a grocery store parking lot, and it reminded me of that story. I had a friend call me a few months back, which was very strange. Typically, we talk about sports, but he was freaked out after he dialed a lower phone number. His brother died of a drug-related issue over a decade ago. I remember him being depressed about it for a few years. I think it's been discussed before, but they paid the phone company not to change his number so they could call it and hear his voicemail. Of course, the phone company doesn't care about a few years, and someone ended up having his number. I'm not sure about the odds of this happening, but he dialed the number just out of curiosity, and the person who picked up had the same first and last name as his brother. Obviously, with caller ID, he was mistaken for a family member. Once they figured out the situation, he told my friend that he still occasionally gets mistaken or being his brother who died. Due to the circumstances, he explained how his brother died and told him to avoid answering calls from someone of those numbers because his brother used to sell drugs. The timing was strange, but he brought up that he's been paranoid for the last few months because the same van was always parked outside of his house. He decided to drop by the local authorities, but luckily it only turned out to be a private investigator who had mistaken him for my friend's brother. My friend still texts the guy now and then just because it was a cool coincidence, but they don't live near each other. Right after his brother died, his parents sold their house and moved out of the state. It was also embarrassing for his parents to find out their son did drugs, and after it was too late. Nothing too scary, but the odds of that number having another owner with the same name, it's probably like winning the lottery. They're not related, they have the same last name, and it shocked my friend. Thanks for reading my story. Really appreciate it. That is one heck of a coincidence.
Yeah, because if you were to put the odds on that, that would be astronomical.
Unless
that
it's like
the same person with the same name would get that phone number.
Unless it's like Phil Smith or something.
He didn't say no. That it was like that. Joe Smith.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how the odds are. It's like, have you looked at the phone book ever? And it's like, there's four pages of them. So unique and odds low. Yeah. Yeah. But better odds than most. I would be curious, and I wouldn't say the name on the air, but I'd be curious to know what that name was, just to see how unique it was for the odds on that. But that's a very weird story.
But my question is about the guy who got the phone number. Okay, so if I get a new phone number, which I haven't gotten a new one in a long time, but if I did, and I'm getting a lot of people calling to buy drugs for me, I think I'd be getting a new phone number.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just wouldn't be a good feeling. It's like, no, I do not have heroin. I keep telling you that.
It's like 3 a.m. Everybody's calling you for the hookup. Yeah, that would be a little discouraging. You know, I think when Jen got her number several years ago, I remember that. I think it might have actually belonged to someone who did that, because we would be getting calls at like 1 or 2 in the morning asking for somebody. I don't remember who it was, but it was very like suspiciously weird calls, like, you want to meet me over here? It's like, huh?
And then you're like, yeah, I'm on my way.
I would screw with them sometimes.
Just wait there in the parking lot for me.
And I'd be like, do you remember the password? And they'd be like, what? Like the password, you know? Do I need to say it again? And this is where I would just get crazy with it. Like, well, what is it? This is the last time I'm going to tell you. Cat semen.
You're gonna have to get your meth from somebody else. I'm sorry.
It's like, cat semen flies over the moon at midnight. It's like, what? It's like, you. And then they'd hang up because they'd realize they were being fucked with. But yeah, good times.
Yeah, that's funny.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, another letter. Hey, guys, I have a few stories I'd like to share with you. Live in North Carolina, about 15 minutes outside of Raleigh, in a small town called Wendell. The house we lived in was built in 85, but the property itself is much older. My sister and I are 6th generation of my family that have grown up in the house, so it's a bit of history to it. To give a title to the story, my grandfather built the house in 85, and when he was digging the holes in the ground for the pipes that would be used for our water from the well, he ran across 3 graves. I'm going to assume when he says 85, we're talking 1885, if 6 generations have lived here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's one randy-ass family that they're just like, every 10-year-old to go find a wife. And even then, I think it has to be a little bit more frequent than that to make 6 generations between 85 and now. Yeah, it would. So anyway, I guess anything's possible, but we'll assume it's 1885. 2 bigger wooden caskets, moving back here, putting the holes in the ground for the pipes that would be used for the water from the well. He ran across 3 graves, 2 bigger wooden caskets and a small one. This, I believe, is when strange things started to happen. After they moved into the house, they started reporting strange things. They'd see a woman that looked as if she was cleaning the house. She would do her own thing until you made eye contact with her, and then she'd disappear. Doors would also open and close by themselves, quite frequently at that. About 15 years afterward, my parents moved into the house with my sister and I. Nothing happened at first, but stuff did eventually start happening. One night, I'd fallen asleep on the couch in the living room after my father was in there. I cut the TV off, turned off the front porch light, and went back to my parents' bedroom. About 15 minutes later, he heard the TV turn back on and came out to see if the TV was still there. So was the porch light. It was all on. Not really thinking much of it, he turned them all off again and went back to his bedroom. Another 15 minutes passed and it happened again. This time, he came out and was more confused and asked, "Who in the world is doing this?" And all of a sudden, a child's voice from the television set says, "I did it." And the TV turns off. Another thing that happened was when my father couldn't sleep one night, he went outside to sit on the porch and he heard someone yell his name. He was surprised and ran inside, wanting to know what my mother wanted, assuming it was her. When he walked in, he saw that she was still asleep in their room. My father has also had a dream come true. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with the house, but I thought it'd be interesting to share. He dreamed that he was looking out the front window of our home when he saw this truck pulling a trailer with a casket in it. Not really understanding the dream, when he woke up, he pushed it to the back of his mind. Later on in the morning, he received a phone call saying that his aunt had passed away in the night. Seems a bit too coincidental to me. My father and I have also had scratches on our chest and backs, almost always 3 of them. I had also heard my name called multiple times when no one had called me. Another incident was when my grandmother was staying with us and she saw me in the backyard playing. It was a weekday and wondered why I wasn't in school. When my mother came home later that day, she asked her if I didn't have school today. My mother told her I did, and that a friend had taken me there earlier in the morning. So whoever or whatever my grandmother saw wasn't me. We live out in the country. We only have 2 neighbors, and neither of them had any children at the time, so it would be weird to see a child out in our backyard in the middle of the day. I'll share one more thing before I finish. My mother and father were in their bedroom. My mom had accidentally snapped a picture of her cell phone on her cell phone of my dad walking to the master bathroom. When they looked at the picture, you can see the outline of a small child walking directly behind him. You can see the head, shoulders, and torso. Nothing has happened lately, but sometimes I still get a weird vibe that something still sticks around. Thanks so much for letting me share. I'm not an EPP yet, but I hope to be one soon. I hope this gets on the air. Maybe you could explain some of this stuff. Well, of course, I have a rational explanation for every single thing in that story. And Carol is going to share all of those explanations right now.
All of them.
Every single one.
So they were watching a TV show that happened to have a kid in it who happened to say, "I did it," at the same time he asked the question. What is it about, like, ghost kids that are not adorable? Like, a kid can be super adorable, but as a ghost, super, like, kid ghosts are super creepy.
Sometimes they can be adorable. We've had stories on this show over the years of adorable kid ghosts. One that, like, the guy would actually buy gifts for the kid. Like, when Frozen was big, he bought the soundtrack, and it would play in the house, like, on this boombox he set up in this room. He named the ghost Sarah, and it would, like, interact with the stuff that he bought it. I don't think he ever saw her, but there was a presence doing something.
I don't think this kid, though, was adorable.
No?
No. I'm not feeling it. Like, what makes it, like, when he, because there's a lot of activity in that house, and then he said nothing's happened for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what makes it quit then?
That's
Are you just not as open to it?
I don't know.
Do they just go, hey, going on a break, gonna hunt down the street? What? I wonder why you wouldn't have continuous.
Do you age as a ghost? Because that's an interesting question, because there's times where we've heard stories where it seems these children are eternally like five. And then there, we've had stories where and the child died as a baby, and then they saw the ghost in the house, and it was what would be a 17-year-old had the child lived, and it's telling you that it's your son or what, you know, whatever it may be. And so the ghost aged. There doesn't seem to be a consistent path with the answer to that question either.
And usually people, you know, have some, you know, they brought someone in, or they started with the sage, and they did certain things to help the ghost move on.
Yeah.
But like this family didn't. Or at least he didn't say that.
Sure. I think sometimes you just don't know what to do. And I mean, my fear with that whole thing is, are you going to stir it up and make it worse if it's not something that's just kind of dormant and maybe not friendly? If it's just kind of like, well, I can handle this, I'll deal with this. But I wouldn't be too cool with that. This being a norm at my house if I was them.
No. It's not the norm.
It's not. Not
it's in, really not.
Not in most homes. I was just thinking when he's talking about caskets in that story, it made me think back to Halloween decorations were obviously in that season, and people and the stuff that they'll put out now. And I love looking at Halloween displays and the things that people will do. But what would you say is the best Halloween display in someone's yard that you've ever seen put up?
Well, there was a family. I noticed tonight they didn't do it. They did different decorations this year, but they put up a really fun looking cemetery. Their entire front yard turned into a cemetery with flying skeletons and ghosts.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And the headstone said really creative things on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought it was kind of funny because their kids were really little. And I thought, doesn't bother their kids at all that their front yard's now a cemetery?
Yeah.
But I like that kind of look. But some of them would be a little too creepy for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it like a pretend dead body in a casket. I just don't.
That can be a bit much, I would say. And have you seen now some of the projectors that they can do where they can project it like there's a spirit in the house, almost like 3D on the window, and it's moving? And that's,
I did see one of those one night. It scared the crap out of me.
I'd like to just do that at Easter. Just put that up on the window. It's like, oh my
that's
God.
The way to do it at Christmas.
I mean, everybody's expecting it at Halloween. You got to do it at a time of the year where no one is expecting Halloween decor to be up. I'd say one of the creepiest things I've ever seen was when I was a kid. And I still to this day don't know what the hell it was. Because this was in about, it was around early September. It was not quite October yet. And in 1988, people were not decorating for Halloween to the level at which they do today. No. But every once in a while, you know, sometimes you'd see a pumpkin in late September in somebody's porch. But it was pretty much the norm of like once October hits, then you can decorate. Anyway, I went to school with this kid. I knew the house he was in. And one day we're driving by and there is literally a casket in the front lawn on the carrier, you know, like the casket. I don't know what that's called. The big metal thing that holds the casket. And it's just there, like in the front lawn, like lawn decor, like expecting like a little bridge over there, with a little boy fishing off of it right next to it. And I was like, is that Halloween decor? Are they having like a funeral in their front yard? Because there's nobody out there. It's just kind of sitting there. And it's in a very busy street in my hometown. And it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. And 2 days later, it was gone. So I don't know if the city said, oh, you can't put a real casket on your front lawn. And number two, if that's how it went, why the hell do you have a real casket anyhow in your house?
Yeah.
Was it like a buy one, get one free when Uncle Ernie died? And it's like, well, what are we going to use this for? Halloween. I don't think that.
It's just sitting around until one of us dies.
I know.
Might as well get some good out of it, Barb.
Yeah. Maybe it was one of those things where it's like the radio remote at the funeral home where it's like, and stop in now because we got the deals you'll die for. You know, the thing is, we've heard those things. Have you ever done one at a funeral home?
No. Okay. Oh, my God. I can imagine. Have you?
No, but I remember the AM station there in Wichita several years ago, back when it was, you know, there was people there. There was one that they were doing like a remote at a funeral home. Just like, really? And it was, you know, like go, I guess, you know, plan in advance and save some money or something. I don't know. It would just
We're all going to die.
I know.
Be ready for your death.
Come on in.
Join me tomorrow, 10 to noon.
Mention you heard it on the air, and we'll get you the deluxe memory foam pillow for your final resting place. You know, it's, I don't know, but it exists.
It's the eternal memory foam.
Exactly. Yes, eternal memory. And the thing is, you could put, like, you know, packing peanuts in there, and no one's going to be any the wiser. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP. Extra podcast person on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.